Do you remember back in 2004? Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, came out. How many of you remember that? When that movie came out and then it became a mega hit, you know what? There was a question that seemed to surface all of a sudden once again. And you know what? Once again in our world, it was cool to talk about Jesus. It was fashionable to talk about him. And in fact, reporters all over the world were talking about and discussing about Jesus and why he had to die. Do you remember what it was like? All of a sudden, evangelism was a piece of cake because everywhere we went, everybody was talking about the movie and everybody was talking about Jesus. John Piper wrote a book during this time called 50 Reasons Why Jesus Had to Die. And right in the middle of this book, he puts a question that he believes is the most important question of the 21st century. It's a question that every man, woman, and child at some point in their life has to come and has to confront. And the question is this: why did Jesus Christ come and die? You know what I think is interesting about that? It was not, why is there so much hunger, or why is there so much suffering, or even how do I get to God? No, all of those questions are important, but the question that we all need to come to grips with is this: why did Jesus Christ have to come and die? And here's what I want you to remember this morning. My friends, you can't understand God until you understand the cross. And Isaiah 53 is what I believe is the best teacher of why Jesus Christ came to die. Stand with me out of respect for God's word. As I read from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm going to read verses 4 through 11. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, once again, as we walk this journey, I pray, teach me the way of the cross. As I live in its shadow, remind me once again of why Jesus Christ came to die. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to start out by giving you a little bit of history about Isaiah 53 because it's so very important to understand. This chapter, Isaiah 53, is found in 15 different New Testament books. Isn't that amazing? Here's this Old Testament prophecy, and 15 different times in 15 different books it is quoted. I want you to know that the book of Isaiah is divided into four parts. There are four psalms or four songs. And in chapters 1 through 39, we hear about the judgment. And then chapters 40 through 66, Isaiah prophesies about salvation, okay? But what I also need you to understand that's very important is this is the chapter that the Jewish nation has a very difficult time with. You know why? Because it names the Messiah. You know what's interesting about this is that this book talks about the servant. And that's the problem. People are trying to figure out, well, who is this servant that the Isaiah is talking about? And this servant that the people, as they read this book, they knew that this servant came and he was punished and he paid a great debt, but they believed it was because of divine anger. But then what they begin to realize and they get confused with is the fact that they find out that it was not because of divine anger, it was for the purpose of love that he came. Now, unless you know who this servant is, this passage means nothing. But I want you to know that God himself reveals to us through his word who this servant is. And so I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. And then I'm going to jump to the New Testament real quick. And I want you to see if you can figure out who the Bible tells us this servant is. In Isaiah 42, verse 1, here is what the Lord says. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. That's who the servant is described in. Now listen to who the servant is described in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Did you hear what the Bible says about who this servant is? Who is this Messiah? His name is Jesus. He is the Christ, and he came into this world because God sent him into this world. Charles Spurgeon talks about Isaiah chapter 53, and he tells us it's the Bible in miniature. It's the gospel in its essence. It's almost like Isaiah has this front row view of the cross, and he watches Jesus die on the cross. There's only one problem with that. You know what it is? Isaiah prophesied this 680 years before Jesus was even born. And in the words that we just read, we heard the why behind the death of Jesus. And I want to go back and I want to read those first couple of verses, and I want to hang there for just a moment, and I want you to follow along with me. Here we go. "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Did you happen to recognize how many times you saw the word "we," "our," and "us"? Do you realize why Jesus came to this earth? You must understand the weight of this truth, and this is the truth. Jesus came and he died for you. He died for me. The pain, the anguish, the suffering that he suffered for us. The humiliation, the brutality of the cross, he did for us. And you know what my reply to that is? Hallelujah! What a Savior! The Bible tells us that he was pierced, that he was beaten, that he wore a crown of thorns, that he carried his own cross, that he was crucified on Calvary. He died and was buried. Now, I want to just say something to you about that. There's a temptation sometimes in our lives to focus on that. Do you remember when you saw the Passion of the Christ? I make myself watch it every Lenten season. And I'm sure you can understand why I say I make myself watch it. You know the scene, don't you? When Jesus is chained and he's being whipped and he's being scourged. And you see what happens to his body. His skin is flayed open. And I'm sorry to be so gruesome and grotesque, but we need to remember the price of what Jesus paid for us. And I will never forget the very first time that I watched that, and I was so drawn into it, and the tears were running down my face, and I heard a woman in the audience yell, "No!" And in my heart, I was thinking, yes! Yes! And here's why. We can't focus on all of the pain and everything that Jesus went through. That's important. It's a part of it. But as humans, you know what happens to us? We tend to look at that and we think, no, it was a mistake. But it was not a mistake, my dear friends. It happened because God allowed it to happen. Do you remember in the book of Acts? Do you remember when all of the people hear the rush of the wind and they come back and the Holy Spirit descends on them like tongues of fire? Remember what I'm talking about? And Peter steps up and he preaches a sermon. Do you remember what he said in that sermon? He said, "This Jesus whom you crucified, he was killed by lawless hands." And Peter says, "Yes, you killed him. Your blood his blood is on your hands." But listen to me very carefully. But my friends, Jesus allowed it to happen. Did you hear me? He allowed it to happen. And the reason is he allowed it to happen because that's why he came. And my friends, that's what Isaiah 53 is all about. The message of Isaiah 53 is this: Jesus died on purpose. Now, what I want to do is I want to talk about three things that he did, three things that will help you understand why Jesus died for us. And the very first one is this: he took our pain. Now, I want to pause for a moment. I want to just ask you right now. Is there anybody in here that's in pain? Is there anybody in here that is suffering and in pain? Maybe it's physical pain. Maybe it's emotional pain. Maybe there was a relationship breakup. But is anybody in here in pain? I want you to listen very carefully to this verse. "Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted." Now, here's one of the things that happened as I began to look at that passage. It doesn't talk about our sin or our guilt, does it? It doesn't talk about our shame. You know what it tells us? It tells us that Jesus came and died for our weakness. Now, I want you to think about this. He bore our griefs. Here's what this means. The picture that we all should have in our minds is this. It's like someone coming and picking up this huge weight. It's too heavy for us to carry. So somebody picks up this huge weight and he carries it away for us. That's the picture. And if there's another picture from the Old Testament that should come to your mind, it's the picture of the priest when he would put the sins of the people on the goat. The scapegoat, he was called. And then that scapegoat was chased and scared out into the desert, never to be seen again. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Here's the truth of what Isaiah is telling us. Jesus, the servant, came and he carried, he picked up the weight of our, now listen to this, sadness. He's talking about the sadness and the pain that we go through because we live in a sin-filled world. What Jesus is talking about here is that he came and he took away the pain in your family. He died for the pain of you losing your job. He died to take away the pain of you losing your spouse or your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister or your son or your daughter. He came for the hurt and the pain of your past. Jesus came to take away your sadness that you live with in this thing called life. And you know what I say to that? Hallelujah! What a Savior! Here's the second thing we learn. He took our punishment, okay? He took our punishment. Look at what the Bible tells us here. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all know what Jesus went through, don't we? It started on that night in which he was betrayed. He endured being betrayed by his friend, and he was betrayed with a kiss. He was slapped. He was beaten. He was punched in the face. They spit upon him. He wore a crown of thorns. He was convicted in a kangaroo court. They laughed at him. They hit him with a rod over and over again. They whipped him. They scourged him with a type of whip that had bones on the end of it where chunks would come out of his flesh. Do you know in Isaiah chapter 50, the Bible tells us that they ripped out the beard from his skin? They made him carry his own cross. The nails went between his hands and his feet. And he hung on that cross in the humiliation until he died. But my friends, don't ever look at that as Jesus made a mistake. Don't ever look at that as that Jesus failed. No, remember what we learned. Jesus did it on purpose. He allowed himself to be treated like a criminal. He didn't just take our place. He lived our punishment. And what do we get? One thing we get is peace with God. Now you may think, well, what's the peace of God that I get? You know what the peace of God that I get? People, I know where I'm going. I have no fear of dying. I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be with Jesus. And not only do I know that, but my wife knows that, and so do my kids. I have given them a huge gift of knowing this is where your dad, your husband is going to be. Bob's going to be with Jesus. And so I'm sure you'll miss me, most of you. But I want you to know that the peace I have, because I know where I'm going, it happened because of what Jesus did on the cross. But you know what else I got? I got healed. What did I get healed from? I got healed from my pain. I got healed from my guilt. I got healed from my shame. I got healed from my hatred. I got healed from my doubt. How did that happen? How do you get that? Well, the Bible tells me as far as the east is from the west, he remembers my sin no more. You see, on my account, just like your account, where it has a list of all of the sins that I've ever done, the sins that I'm doing and the sins I will ever do, there's a big red stamp in the middle of it that says, paid in full. And I want you to know that this proves that we just don't serve a God who lives way out there. No, we serve a God who comes in close. And by his stripes, the Bible says, we are healed. Here's the next thing. He took our place. He took our place. Look what the scriptures teach us here. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, here's what I want you to know. Isaiah 53 verse 6, this is known as the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. You want to know why? Because it makes the way of salvation crystal clear. The way that you get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. You see, we're all in the same boat, right? And unless somebody does something, this boat is going down. Unless God intervenes, unless God does something, we're all going to die. And here's the good news. God did do something. And even in our rebellion, even when we said to God, God, leave me alone, you know what God said? I can't do that. I can't do that because I love you too much. So I'm going to do everything that I possibly can because I want to spend eternity with you. So I'm going to do everything I possibly can so that you, all you have to do is receive the gift that I've given to you. I'm going to take care of your debt. I'm going to do it through my son. I'm going to take care of all of it. So all you have to do is receive the gift that I have given you. I want you to just think about that for a moment. Even in rebellion, God still reaches his hand, his long arm, to save those who are lost. Look at what this does here. The Bible says, and the Lord has laid on him. What I want you just to realize is this. The on him is Jesus. You know that, right? He's the rescuer. He laid everything on Jesus, on the shoulders, on the head of Jesus. And Jesus came, and what did he do? He rescued us. He saved us. He knew that the only way that we would have a chance was if he came and he gave his life up. And so that's why Jesus died for us. He came, he took our pain, he took our punishment, he took our place. Why? So that all we would have to do is to receive the gift that God has given to us. That's why Jesus came to die. And I don't know about you, but I think there's a world right now that needs to hear that message. In just a couple weeks, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but I've asked that some of the signs be pulled off our pews that says you need to not sit in this pew. Okay? Now I want you to hear my heart on this. I'm not trying to put you in any danger. I know we're getting through this. I know there's a light in the tunnel. Maybe many of you have had your shot. I've had my first one. I'm getting my second one after Easter. But here's what I'm believing with all my heart, people. I'm believing that we've got a hungry community. I believe that we have a people that have been so separated from each other, and they felt like they've been separated from God, that they are just looking and can't wait to come and celebrate once again what happened on that Easter Sunday morning. And then what we're going to do is we're going to challenge them to come back that next week as we talk about three issues that everybody deals with in life at some point in time. In the verse that we just read, I want you to notice this and remember this. It begins with all and it ends with all. And in the first all, you know what it does? It describes that we are all sinners. But in the end, you know what it says? It says we are all saved. We are all in the same boat, to where all we have to do is to receive what Jesus has done for us. Now I'm going to close with this. When Dwight David Eisenhower was on his deathbed, the story is that he called Billy Graham and asked Billy Graham to come and visit him. And Billy Graham, because they were good friends, he came to him. And just before President Eisenhower died, he asked him this question. He said, "Billy, I have one question for you. Is there any way that God could save an old sinner like me?" And the story is told that one of Dwight's sons was looking through the door and heard the conversation going on. And he said Billy Graham had the biggest smile on his face that he could see it all the way from the doorway. And he said, "Yes." And not just an old one, a young one, a middle-aged one, a newborn one, and an ancient one. If you trust in Jesus and put your faith and trust in the work of what he did on the cross.